Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort.
第一コリント人への手紙14章1節から3節までを読みします。愛を追い求めなさい。また、御霊の賜物、特に予言することを熱心に求めなさい。威厳を話す者は人に話すのではなく神に話すのです。というのは誰も聞いていないのに自分の霊で奥義を話すからです。ところが予言する者は徳を高め、勧めをなし、慰めを与えるために人に向かって話します。
Morning. How are you doing? Today is my first time out in a long time. I've been bedridden, and it didn't look like Tucson when I came out. anyways. First Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And going down to verse 3, it says, those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gift, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and that, Lord, we could come before you here as a church body to worship you and to, Lord, to encourage, comfort, and strengthen one another. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you have given us, Lord, to walk in your Spirit and to partake in, Lord, just divine encouragement, divine comfort, divine strengthening. And Father, right now I ask that as your word is proclaimed, Lord, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so this starts off, verse 14 starts off with saying, follow the way of love. And I've said this many times and I'll say this again. The first and most important thing is love. Amen?
Amen.
We need to grow in love. We need to make that first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul is the first and most important commandment. And it must be first and most important in our lives as well. I believe Tucson, the city of Tucson itself has a very Lone Ranger kind of a feel to it, right? It has that spirit to it. But we need to change that, and it needs to start in the church. We need to be more of a loving communal people. Amen? And so it says, follow the way of love. And I'm just going to stop right there because we could talk about love. But I want to focus on this. And it says, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So it's not one or the other, but it's a both. Love and spiritual gift, they go together. I believe they go together. And it's scriptural to desire it. Amen. It's biblical to want it. I'm not giving you my opinion, I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's what the scripture says. And if you want to be, if you want to be biblical, and if you really see scripture as something we should follow, then we should eagerly desire it, not just say, okay, Lord, if you have a spiritual gift for me, that's fine. If not, that's okay either. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is saying, eagerly desire it. Go after it. Look for it. Seek it. Ask for it. And then it says something strange. It says, especially the gift of prophecy. Especially the gift of prophecy. And so I believe, although we are all gifted in different ways, this gift of prophesying is available for each and every one of us. And before you shut me out, some of you already have, before the rest of you shut me out, let me just explain what prophecy is in the New Testament. Prophecy in the New Testament is simply this: hearing God's voice and declaring it over somebody. And I believe we all could hear God's voice. Whether it's through Scripture, and that's the easiest way, hearing God's voice through Scripture, or the still small voice of God. I believe we could hear God's voice either way. Now, the gift of prophesying is a little different from being a prophet. There are some, I believe, in the New Testament that are called to be prophets. And in the book of Acts, they talk about a couple of prophets, a prophet Anna, I believe. Anyways. But the gift of prophesying is different from being a prophet. And since we all have the capacity to hear God's voice, I believe Paul here is saying, okay, eagerly desire the gift of hearing God's voice and proclaiming it over someone's life to what? Strengthen, encourage, and comfort. That's simply what he's saying. Paul is saying, eagerly desire the ability to hear God's voice so that you could strengthen, encourage, and comfort other people. How many of us ever needed to be strengthened? Comforted? Encouraged. I need to be encouraged all the time. Alright, I'm talking to the right group. Well, we've all at one point in our time needed to be strengthened, right? Comforted, encouraged. And we all have the capacity to do it. And Scripture is simply saying, and we have the capacity to do it supernaturally. And I don't want to scare you off with that term, but we all have the capacity to do it spiritually. Because we are born of the Spirit, right? And so as spiritual people, Paul is saying, okay, connect to God the Father so that when you speak to people, you could do it to comfort, encourage, and strengthen. And the first and most important place to hear God's voice and hear it clearly is the revealed Word of God, which is the Bible, Scripture. Psalms 1:2 talks about meditating on His Word day and night. And it's so important that if we're going to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying, it is so important that we know this. Because any still small voice you hear that is against this, that contradicts this, is a wrong still small voice. And let me make this clear. Just because something is spiritual or supernatural doesn't mean it's from God. No. It's so important because, you know, if you go and you start eagerly desiring spiritual gifts, and then all of a sudden you see a vision and it contradicts this, just because it's supernatural, some of us may automatically think, oh, it's from God. But it's not. Because Satan is also a spiritual being, and he could talk to us in spiritual and supernatural ways. So just make sure that this is first. This is foundational. Know it, read it, study it, listen to it, memorize it, meditate upon it. God would never contradict His written word. And you know what? His written word is probably the most strengthening, encouraging, and comforting word you can hear.
Amen.
You know, Tamal said I didn't look good today. And it's true, I look like a mess, I know. But I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is the word of God right there, and I speak that to encourage myself. You know, and there's a lot of truth in the Bible, such as God will use all things for the good of those who love Him. You know, that's another encouraging, comforting word you could tell yourself when you're going through hard times, difficult times in your life. So the first thing is know the word. But also, I believe God speaks through the still, small voice of the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 19. John 5:19 says this. The context is those who were criticizing Jesus were asking him, you know, why are you breaking Sabbath and why are you doing all these things that are unlawful? And Jesus says this in 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." He said, the Son, if I wanted an easy ministry, I could have an easy ministry and I could have healed this person before the Sabbath or after the Sabbath. But what can I do? I saw the Father healing the man on the Sabbath, so I heal the man on the Sabbath, basically. Jesus is saying, I only do what I see the Father doing. And during the Sabbath, the Father healed somebody. And so Jesus simply said, hey, I'm just obeying what I see. Which is pretty interesting, right? Yes, no? Okay. Jesus saw differently. Amen? He saw things, I guess, a little differently than we see things. Apparently, whenever he healed somebody, he did it simply because he saw the Father doing it. And so he saw things differently. If you go down to verse 30, speaking on judgment, but I believe this is simply more of revelation of how Jesus operated. He says, "By myself, I can do nothing. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. I judge only as I hear." So he saw and heard differently. When he judged, it was he heard the Father, and he simply spoke it. When he healed something, he simply saw the Father doing something, and so he came into agreement with it and healed him. My wife shared a little bit of the testimonies of winter vision. Let me tell you, I didn't see anything. I just went around and prayed for people. Some people didn't get healed, I'll be honest. Some people even might have got sicker. But some people actually got healed. Amazing. And God was doing that. It wasn't because of me, it was God. I believe if we're faithful in doing our part, God is faithful and He'll do His part. But my point in showing you this scripture is Jesus was just obedient. He saw and He heard. Just listening to people who actually operate in a higher level of prophetic and just people that are seers, especially this man named John Wimber. If you're ever interested in the healing ministry or the prophetic, I highly recommend John Wimber. He's my favorite. But he used to take people with him to these conferences, and he would teach them how to see and how to hear. And one time he brought this man over. He is the leader of the House of Prayer movement, named Mike Bickle. And so it was time for the healing ministry time. And, you know, he did his teaching, and now he's going to, pray for people to be healed. And then he brought Mike Bickle along with him. And Mike Bickle would just start, he started praying really loud, you know. Like, and then John Wimber would say, "Hey, calm down." And he would tell John, he'll tell Mike Bickle, "You need to dial it down." You know, a lot of times I think when it comes to like healing or doing something miraculous, we feel like we need to like muster up all the faith we have within us, right? But John Wimber would say, "Dial it down." That would be his term. And it simply would mean what it says, just, you know, slow down. Just quiet down a little bit. And simply become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what He's doing. And it's so important, I believe, that if we as a church will be faithful and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of hearing God, it's so important to dial it down. Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and experience that I am God. Know that I am God." I also believe it's also important to learn the language of the Spirit. Learn the language of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick to Isaiah. Chapter 1, verse 1. Isaiah was a prophet, and it says this: "The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amos saw during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah." So Isaiah, apparently, the prophecy he gives initially is something he saw. It says, "A vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amos saw during the reign of Uzziah." Now turn real quick with me to Jeremiah, the next prophet. Jeremiah 1:4. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation." If you caught that one, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me." So this one, it wasn't a seeing, it was a hearing, right? And it's actually in quotes what he heard. If you go down a little bit more, though, it says, in verse 11, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah?" So this one is actually a scene. "What do you see?" He says, "I see a branch of an almond tree," I replied. "The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Says, "I see the branch of an almond tree. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And so Jeremiah both saw and heard God. And it's interesting here what he saw. He saw an almond tree, which in the Hebrew is, man, I actually have the Hebrew written here. And so if you know Hebrew, you could read this later. But I forgot my Hebrew. I don't even know which way to read it. I think I'm sick. Right, just forgive me, I'm sick. Phil, you know if you're supposed to read Hebrew right to left or left to
right? Right to left.
Right to left. Okay. This is like I don't know, but apparently in Hebrew the word almond tree and the word watching is very similar. It's just it's a wordplay. So it's basically saying, if I had a watch, and if I asked, what do you see? And you say, a watch. And then I would say something like, that's right, because I'm watching you. It's very playful, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is God. wordplays, imagery. If you go a little bit further, if you go back up a little in verse 9, it says, then the Lord reached out his hands and touched my mouth. And so there was a sensation he felt. I don't know if he saw a hand touch his mouth, or he just felt his mouth being touched by something. It's unclear. But there was a sensation, there was a touch. And so there's a lot of ways that the Lord has spoken throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that a lot of times we just look at and don't realize, hey, God is speaking to us the same way today. He could either speak to us, he could show us a picture, he could touch us with a sensation. There was one time I was at there was a Friday night healing service that my wife and I used to go to in Pasadena. And someone came and said, I feel like God wants to heal people with bad backs. So if you have bad backs, please raise your hand. And people raise their hands. And we just go over and we just pray for their backs. And so I went and I laid my hand on her. And I tried to dial it down. And then as I was dialing it down, in my imagination, I saw her, since she has a bad back, I'm like, you know, I saw like her getting rear-ended. But I was like, you know, she could have a bad back for 100 reasons. You know, it doesn't really have to be that. So instead of saying, oh, I see, instead of saying, you know, language, spiritual language of like, oh, I see God showing me you got rear-ended. I just asked her simply, you know, so what happened? And she's like, oh, I got rear-ended. And I was like, oh. You know, how much would that have helped her faith? And how cool would that have made me look if I said, oh, I see God doing this? But yeah, God speaks to us in a variety of ways. Primary through his word, but also through his still small voice. And it comes in a variety of form, sensation, touch, I believe smell as well, a knowing. There was one time when Jesus was with the Pharisees and he knew in his heart what the Pharisees were thinking. It was just a knowing. And that's all it simply was. And so there are just a lot of ways that we as spiritual people, I believe, if we learn the language of the Spirit and become more sensitive to the language of the Holy Spirit, there's just a lot of things that we could encourage, comfort, and strengthen other people with. My wife, she used to be in a ministry where Saturday night, people would come and they'd get prayed for, and they would simply just, you know, strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. It's amazing. I mean, let me just tell you, this is Saturday night in Pasadena. This isn't Tucson, this is Pasadena, no, just kidding. This is Pasadena where there's a lot of things to do, you know? And the place is packed with young people and old people. Hundreds of people just lining up to get prayed for. Is that amazing or what? Anyways. They're doing something right over there. But as one of the first time my wife was doing this, a big white man came and sat down, a white guy sat down. And they're all just praying for him and just telling them what they felt God was saying. And all of a sudden, you know, Mandy, she just couldn't shake the image off of John Wayne. Like she just, for some reason, it was just John Wayne, that's all. And so she just said, you know, does John Wayne mean anything to you? And when she said that, the guy, he started crying. And I guess he shared, you know, growing up, him and his brother loved John Wayne when they were growing up. They just loved him. They wanted to be like him. There's no one else like him. And he was just so touched that God would, you know, even bring John Wayne up, I guess. And yeah, it's just, it's kind of weird sometimes how it works, okay? I'm just letting you know. But a single word like that, it just does a lot more than if we, than a Hallmark card, I guess. I don't know. You know, a single word can just really touch a person like no other. A word from God can really touch a person. Just to wrap this up, when it comes to seeking spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, there are three things we need to realize is this. The revelation, and the revelation is, for the most part, the easiest. The revelation is, for the most part, is the easiest. It's just simply asking God, Lord, is there something I could say, or is there something you want me to say? And, you know, I believe if we ask God, God would speak to us. The scripture says, you have not because you ask not. And so simply just asking God, okay, I'm going to pray, I'm going to dial it down. What are you saying? And what you get, what you feel, what you hear, what you see, that's the revelation. Again, it could be as obscure as an almond branch, but that's the revelation. And we need to be faithful to that, the revelation. Okay, if I'm praying for someone and all I see is apple, that's the revelation. I'm going to say, okay, does apple mean anything to you? And if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Okay, so first part of the revelation. The second part is the interpretation. And that part is a little bit more difficult. But the interpretation is, what does it mean? A lot of times we get in trouble with this kind of ministry, or this kind of just comforting, encouraging, and strengthening, because we get the right revelation, but we might put in our own interpretation. And so, for example, if someone was praying for somebody, and the revelation he gets is a kangaroo, and, you know, kangaroo, what could that mean? Okay, I think God wants you to hop around. was like, okay. And then, you know, the guy that's getting prayed for is like, that means absolutely nothing to me. That doesn't do it for me, I'm sorry, you know. But if the person was just faithful to the revelation and say, and doesn't know their interpretation, it's okay if you don't know their interpretation. But if the guy said, I don't know, I just see kangaroo, does that mean anything to you? And the guy says, yeah, it means a whole lot. I was thinking about going to Australia for missions. You know, that's a completely different thing. Does that make sense? So the revelation, a lot of time, could get tainted by our own interpretation. If you don't know the interpretation, that's fine. But if you're praying for someone, and all of a sudden you get a revelation and you don't have an interpretation, pray for that person and say, hey, I don't know if this means anything to you, but does this mean anything to you? And if it does, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. And the last part is application. Application is, what do I do with it? If you don't have that application, I think that application is the hardest. If you don't have an application to it, don't try to give them an application. Just give it to them and let them find out what the application to it is. And so the three part is revelation, interpretation, and application. And I believe that if we're going to be faithful to Scripture, it says, eagerly desire, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of comforting, encouraging, and strengthening others. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just, Father, whatever you have imparted in me, Lord, to receive revelation, Lord, I just pray that you would bless, Lord, those who are hungry here with the gift of hearing your voice clearly. I pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, open our ears that we would hear, and give us hearts that understand, Lord. We pray, Jesus, for greater and clearer revelation. We pray, Jesus, that you would give us, Lord, the ability to understand the language of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, you said that, Lord, that your kingdom is near. And Father, we know that we're in spiritual warfare all the time. And so I believe it's absolutely necessary, Father, that we grow in the gifting that are absolutely necessary to bring your kingdom, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.